I'm so excited, church, to welcome Lori Beth Huffman as our senior pastor. And Lori Beth was kind of the shepherd of pastors in our district. She was our district superintendent when I made the transition from youth director to being local pastor. And one of the questions that she asked me in my first evaluation, you know, with a room full of people, she said, "Well, I have a question. How are you caring for your soul?" And I told her when we met last week that, I mean, that was almost 8 years ago. That question has not left me. And the first question that she asked me this week when we had the chance to meet together was, "Tell me about how you Sabbath. Like, how is it that you rest in the Lord? How do you take care of your soul?" We are in this season right now where we feel like one of the things that God is calling us to is to be intentional in the way that we make disciples, in the way that we invite people into a journey with Jesus. And I'm so grateful that the person that I get to follow and serve alongside, the person that God has sent us to lead us in this, is a person who cares deeply about the condition of our hearts and who we are in Jesus. And so I'm so thankful for you and grateful to welcome you. Can I pray for you as we begin? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for your church, and we're grateful that in your great faithfulness, you invite us and allow us to be a part of it through your son, Jesus. We thank you for who this church is in particular, for the journey that we have been on and the journey that is ahead of us. We're grateful that you are a God who is faithful in that journey, and that part of your faithfulness right now in this season and in the seasons ahead is displayed in your willingness to send Lori Beth to lead us, to shepherd us, to bring her wisdom and her gifts. And we pray your blessing upon she and her husband Greg as they begin their time here. Lord, we pray that you would give us a willingness to follow, a willingness to listen, a willingness to be challenged as we seek together to become the church that you dream of. We're grateful for Lori Beth and just pray a blessing upon this transition and pray that you would bear much fruit in her and through her. For both she and her husband, Greg, God, we're grateful for them and just celebrate them. And we pray all of these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Yes. I'm pretty sure y'all aren't going to mind, but I'm going to slip my shoes off for this. Good morning, Crossroads. It is exciting to be here with you this morning. I'm truly not sure I can put into words how glad and thankful that I am to be here with you and to be here at this church serving as a new senior minister. And thank you so much for sharing those words, Vern. I know that the church was not expecting a change. I know that it has been disruptive, and I know some people are probably looking at our Methodist system going, okay, enough already. But my hope is that this is just the beginning of a long-lasting relationship together. Now, we are thankful for the ways that we have been welcomed here and all of the hard work of both the parsonage committee that takes care of the house that we live in and the staff parish committee that have really helped to make this a good start. Grateful for all of that. But I want to introduce to you the person who has truly helped me stay sane in the midst of moving both jobs and home and supported me all along the way, and that is my husband, Greg. Can you, like, stand up and... Greg serves as general counselor for a company in Hickory, Moretz Marketing, and he has been quite the trooper throughout our marriage by commuting so that I have been able to serve a variety of churches, and so grateful for that. He also happens to be the conference chancellor, which means provides legal counsel for Bishop Leland. So he stays super busy, but he actually was a member at Boone for 3 years when I did serve as a district superintendent. He actually played drums for the praise band periodically, so he's kind of coming back home, and that has been a blessing. But he is an amazing source of support for me. I'm thankful for him throughout my ministry, and I hope that y'all will also welcome him warmly also. Now, it has been quite a journey that brings me to this point of standing in front of you this morning. And really, our journey together is just beginning. So next week, I'm going to actually share my personal story and the personal journey that I have been on. But today, I just feel so strongly that it is important for us to start by hearing about a biblical journey where it all began. And so I invite you to hear the reading this morning from Genesis 12, verses 1 through 9. The Lord said to Abram, "Leave your land, your family, and your father's household for the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation and will bless you. I will make your name respected and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and those who curse you I will curse. All the families of the earth will be blessed because of you." Abram left just as the Lord told him, and Lot went with him. Now Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. Abram took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all of their possessions, and those who became members of their household in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan. When they arrived in Canaan, Abram traveled through the land as far as the sacred place at Shechem, at the Oak of Moreh. The Canaanites lived in the land at that time. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "I give this land to your descendants." So Abram built an altar there to the Lord who appeared to him. From there, he traveled toward the mountains east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and worshiped in the Lord's name. Then Abram set out toward the arid southern plain, making and breaking camp as he went. Will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts truly be a blessing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I'm curious, what kind of vacation planner are you? Are you one of those that pulls down the map and you set the itinerary and you work out all the details, you make all the reservations ahead of time, you pre-purchase all the tickets, you know exactly how you're going to spend all your free time? Or are you the kind of person that likes to play it by ear? You know where you're going, you know how you want to spend your time on the vacation, but you don't want to lock down onto anything so that you are flexible and open for whatever amazing opportunities come your way. You play it by ear and you like it that way. Which one are you? Well, 3 weeks from tomorrow, I will be leaving for Tanzania to climb Mount Kilimanjaro, which is 19,340 feet high. Oh my gosh, the highest peak in Africa. And I have been planning this trip for over a year, for almost 2 years. I have been training for this trip physically for over a year. I've been packing for this trip for months now. I have never planned and prepared for a trip more than this one in my entire life. However, Greg and I have also been known to decide to go somewhere in 2 weeks and take off and completely play it by ear and thoroughly enjoy ourselves. I'm really curious, though, as a church, which one is the church? Like, how does the church plan a vacation? Plan the details or play it by ear? Well, today we're going to talk about going on a journey. So it's not quite a vacation, but it is going somewhere. And my belief is that from the very beginning, we need to focus our time and our attention on God's presence in our midst and God's message for us in our midst. Where are we going? And how are we going to get there? And besides, everyone loves a great journey, right? So I realize that you don't know me so very well, and I don't know you very well either. But we do hold a fairly strong bond in common. We're all following Christ. We're all on a journey, the very same journey, but different places along that journey. We're all trying to figure out how to follow Jesus' footsteps. And that, in fact, is what brings us together. It's what unites us to work together to become the best disciples for Jesus that we can. A whole new journey is lying before us, and today marks the first day of that joint spiritual journey that we will take together. And what better passage to help us explore that image than this first journey that we find in the Bible? The call of Abram, more familiar to us, Abraham. So let's look at this passage with a little more detail, and I need to start by giving you some orientation as to where this passage falls in the book of Genesis, because that's actually important to the story. So chapter 12 sounds like it's in the middle of the story, right? But it is actually a beginning. So Genesis 1 and 2 are God's creation stories. And then Genesis 3 through 11 are what we call the ancestral or origin stories in Genesis. And they include a great deal of stories about lost and faithless people who are really struggling. Other than Noah, chapters 3 through the 11 depict people who are, quite frankly, just making a big old mess. And chapter 11 then ends with a genealogy that takes us from Noah's son all the way to Abram. But at the very end of that chapter, there's a verse that says that Sarai, Abram's wife, is barren. So boom, it's the end of the genealogical road, right? Therefore, there's no more genealogy, so there's no more generation, so there's no more story. And then enters the voice. Now, we know it as the voice of God, but actually God has no introduction here. God just appears suddenly to Abram and begins to talk, marking this dramatic, dramatic shift in how God is interacting with the generations previous to this new thing that God is now doing there in their midst. And it starts with God speaking. So the first three verses of Genesis 12 are actually seen as the key to understanding not only the whole chapter of Genesis, but actually the first five books of the Bible, what we call the Pentateuch. And in the call and promises that God makes to Abraham, God is getting ready to link all the families that have been on the earth to this one family, and then through this one family, reach back out to the rest of the world. That's pretty amazing, actually. It all starts right here in this moment. God calls to Abram, who he actually renames Abraham a few chapters later, and calls Abraham to leave his country, his clan, his home. And God calls him to go to a place where God will show him. Tough stuff here, right? Because he doesn't tell him where he's going, just that it has to happen soon. He has to pack up everything and move. Now, Greg and I should be grateful because we knew where the moving truck was going to stop and unload our stuff. But Abraham and Sarah, not so much. Then God promises him several things if Abraham will do what God asks of him. And God promises him many things that you and I long for. Security, well-being, prosperity, prominence. Sounds good, but it also sounds very open-ended. And besides, how is God going to make a great nation from Abraham when they aren't even able to have children? And by the way, did you catch his age? He was 75 years old when this chapter began, which reminds us that we are never too old for God to call great things out of us. We cannot use age as an excuse. So I heard a preacher say one time that abundance follows obedience. Abundance follows obedience. I love that phrase. God is completely capable of providing all that is needed for the journey that we are called to travel. God's abundance flows freely as a response to our obedience to God in our lives. And this story is a perfect example of that. God's abundance follows Abraham's obedience. God promised a great nation to barren Abraham and Sarah, and I presume that Abraham thought that would come through Lot, his nephew, who was traveling with them. But the interesting thing here is that Abraham didn't ask any questions. I don't know if you noticed, but Abraham actually doesn't say anything at all. His response is silent but faithful. He gathered his family and all of their many belongings, and he began the journey to Canaan. FYI, Abraham was born in what is modern-day Iraq, and he traveled up north through Iraq and Iran and over and then down to what is modern-day Israel. And he did it silently but faithfully. I just don't think many of us would respond in that way. Now, it doesn't say how Sarah responded, though, does it? And I'm pretty sure that that conversation was, in fact, not silent. Honey, I had a conversation this morning with God. Who? God, Jehovah, God. He's asking us to pack up everything and to leave, but he's promised to take care of us, and he's promised to make a great nation from us and to bless us. So I'll get the tents and the animals ready. How long do you think it'll take you to get the food and the house servants ready to go? Oh, yeah, I'm sure that conversation did not go well at all. So Abraham, where are we going? Well, I'm not really sure, but we will know it when we get there. Are you serious? What kind of crazy plan is this? Yeah, I'm pretty sure the conversation looked more like that image. But here's the thing. They go. They all go. They all go on this amazing journey with God to a place they aren't sure about, with promises that don't make a lot of sense. But they go because Abraham trusted this God of creation. The journey wasn't necessarily easy at times, and the path was rocky and hard, both literally and figuratively. But most interesting to me is Abraham's response all along the way. He stops and builds these altars to God to worship. They did this by stacking rocks. They would stack the rocks to create these places of worship and oftentimes name the space. By the time Abraham is done, he has left hundreds of rock altars all throughout this space, from his homeland to this new land he's been called to. Worship is his response. Worship is the reaction that is evoked inside of him. Worship from the obedient one to the God who makes and keeps promises. Worship. And this is when our focus needs to shift from Abraham the obedient to God the abundant promise maker and keeper. Abraham's story is a powerful example of God's creative power in the midst of our barren world. God is able to make good on God's promises. God shows Abraham the land of Canaan. It'll be a few generations before Abraham's family claims the land, but they do. And speaking of family, in just a few chapters, God makes good on that promise to make a great nation in the birth of Isaac to Abraham and Sarah. And thus the family tree is kept alive. Life out of barrenness. And over and over and over, we can read examples of where God continues to bless Abraham's family in spite of Abraham's shortcomings. Because God is so good. God is able to fulfill God's promises in spite of Abraham's humanness. And this is an important lesson for us. Abraham was faithful, yes, unbelievably so, but he was not perfect. At one point, he was overcome by fear to such a degree that he lied to the Egyptians and said that Sarah was his cousin, not his wife. And he was so obsessed over this promise for a birthright, a family claim, that he begins to take things into his own hands. And he takes a fertile servant on as a wife and births a son, Ishmael, from Hagar. It took some convincing before Abraham finally would stop taking things into his own hands and instead realize that God has plans that are so much greater than we can imagine or even comprehend. Again, a lesson for each one of us that let God be in control. It usually works out better that way. Abundance follows obedience, not perfection. So Walter Brueggemann, an Old Testament theologian, I think beautifully frames this story for us today when he says, God calls the hopeless ones into community with a future. He calls fixed ones into pilgrimage. Hopeless ones, fixed ones. Because you see, where there is hopelessness or barrenness or emptiness, God can and will fill those voids, those empty spaces. God will step into the gap. God will inspire hope in the face of fear or confusion or desperation. But at the same time, God will also disrupt and mobilize those who are stuck or rigid, because God is always looking ahead and casting vision and moving forward, expecting us to do the same. Because following Jesus, y'all, following Jesus requires action. Get ready, folks. Our journey is beginning, and the future is filled with hope and possibility and movement. So I look forward to continuing to learn and discern our paths together. But I've been here before. I've been at that precipice of possibility, wondering if I really have it in me to trust God completely with what I think is the next step that God is asking. It often seems awfully risky. Bigger than my stride is capable of stepping. Have you ever been hiking in the woods and you get to that stream that you have to cross, but the rocks aren't quite close enough, and you're looking at it going, there is no way. There's no way. My shoes are toast. I'm never going to keep my feet dry. But you finally get your courage up, and you take that first jump to that first stone, and then you take the second one, and before you know it, you've gotten across the stream, and you did it. And your feet are relatively dry. So let me ask you a question. Can you hear the echo of Jesus' voice in all of this? God placed the call on Abraham's life, right? He also paired that with promises, gifts to be given to him and his family and beyond. And Abraham responds with complete renunciation of his life as he knew it. He completely lets go of the familiar, and he trusts and he worships God. And the result was the beginning of a great and long journey together. Not only was his family blessed, but he and his family became a blessing to others. I see Jesus actually throughout this story. And I see the same invitation extended to you and to me. Would you like to be a blessing to others? What about this church? Would this church truly like to be a blessing to others? And can you hear Jesus' voice, Mark 8:35? For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake, for the sake of the gospel, will save it. Remember, abundance follows obedience, and life is created out of barrenness. and trusting in God and receiving blessings from God. But maybe first we need to ask the obvious question before we wrap it up. Do we actually want to go on a journey to begin with? Or are we content right here where we are? Do we have the energy or the desire inside of ourselves to truly be obedient to God, to start this new journey in this new life God is inviting us to? And do we as a church body, a community of faith, really want to find our way into God's will for us? To be a blessing, to receive the blessing so we can be a blessing. These, my new friends, these are the questions that we need to answer, both personally, but also collectively. Because God is calling us. God is calling us. And God promises great blessings, but the journey will not necessarily be easy. But it will be rewarding along the way, filled with meaningful worship, amazing opportunity, humbling service, blessed relationships, and communion grace. Are we willing to discern God's direction for us and find that courage to take this first step completely and obediently? Abundance follows obedience. And here's the deal. I cannot cross that stream alone. And nor can I do it for you on your behalf. We have to do it together. So I invite you to grab my hand, and together, you and me, we will jump to that next stone along God's journey on our path together. Holy God, let the journey begin.